Lord, as we have read and heard your written word through the prophet Moses, one of your great leaders, this day of talking about who you will rise up, you will cause to rise up to speak to your people. Lord, it's not something that just the Israelites needed to hear. It's something that we need to hear today. For there are so many who claim to be spokespersons of yours. Sometimes it's difficult, God, to discern those who are truly from you and those who are not. We pray this day that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you haven't heard yet, there's a nationally televised professional football game taking place next Sunday. During this annual event, people huddle around televisions to watch the commercials as much as the action on the field. And some will watch one and some will watch the other. Advertisers will spend millions of dollars to attract us and entice us to purchase their products. Many of the ads will be creative and memorable, and more than a few will also feature celebrity or familiar representative to help promote the merchandise. In fact, we've even seen a few little trailers already being released. Some of these celebrity pitch people are connected to companies and products over a long period of time. They're not just hired necessarily for the one big event that comes the first Sunday in February. You may recall when William Shatner hung up his Captain Kirk uniform and started hawking for Priceline.com. Or if you're of a certain age, you may remember retired slugger Joe DiMaggio moonlighting as Mr. Coffee. Brooke Shields rocked Calvin Klein jeans and Michael Jordan donned his Hanes underwear. They became so connected that we remember years later the products, that some of them may have even gone into obscurity, but we remember the ads, and the people are so connected with that product. Those celebrity faces added authenticity to a product, at least on the surface. But as often as a celebrity spokesperson helps a product line, many of them have done more harm than good. Namely, the celebrity who goes off the rails by doing or saying something dumb at best or criminal at worst. Consider these cautionary examples. Jared Fogle, who was featured in nearly every Subway commercial for 15 years because he lost 245 pounds eating the sandwiches, was imprisoned in 2015 for sexual misconduct with children. No surprise when Subway immediately dropped him as a spokesperson. Olympic swimming champion Michael Phelps was pitching cereal for the Kellogg Company when a video of him smoking marijuana in 2009 and a second DUI charge in 2014 got him bounced from the cereal aisle. He has since regained some of his endorsements, Americans being more forgiving of winners, apparently. Paula Deen was the darling of the Food Network, until she was taken to court by former employees on charges of racial and sexual discrimination. Smithfield Foods dropped her as a spokesperson. And golfer Tiger Woods and bicyclist Lance Armstrong were both at the top of their respective sports until scandal took them down along with their sponsorships with Nike and Livestrong, respectively. These are just a few of the sad stories of spokespersons gone wild, which led to the bad image and bad press for the companies that they endorsed. They were people who presumed to speak on behalf of the companies they represented, but their behavior turned out to be an embarrassment instead. Of course, such behavior is not limited to commercial endorsements. The church has had plenty of its own high-profile pitchmen get caught up in scandal and damage its reputation over the years. Those who presume to speak for God are watched even more carefully than celebrities to seek, even if they to check their character and their conduct. And we want to see if their character and conduct matches what their message is. Discerning Christians, like discerning consumers, need to always be on the lookout for authenticity in those who would stand before them with what they claim to be the Word of God. Moses knew this was going to be a challenge for the people of Israel. So in today's scripture from Deuteronomy, it tells of him offering up some criteria for the kind of people God calls to be his spokesmen and spokeswomen, while warning how to spot a fake as well. The question for Israelites in Moses' day is the same for those of us who preach and for those who listen to preachers. How do we know the difference between a real prophet and a religious pitch person? How can we tell if someone is on the up and up, or if he or she is leading the people into spiritual bankruptcy? In today's text, Moses offers two criteria for a real prophet. First, the prophet will be like Moses. And secondly, the prophet will be raised up from among God's own people. In other words, real prophets will speak and act in line with the law of God, and whatever they prophesy will affect them as much as the people there, because they have been called to and from those people to minister among them. These are important distinctions because they offer the foundation for the prophet's words and actions in the Word of God and in the community into which and out of which God calls them. Unlike a celebrity endorser, a prophet should be well known by those in his own community before they ever receive the call to prophecy. People will have had the opportunity to observe these people in their public persona in the privacy of their lives. They will have been able to witness their character and action and determine whether their message matches the scriptures they have studied and discerned together in a community. As God told Moses, the prophet will, quote, speak to them everything I command, end quote. And whoever fails to heed that word will be held accountable. The prophet will have a stake in the community to whom he or she speaks. Thus, whatever the prophet proclaims for the community will affect him or her as well. To put it another way, the prophet's word is less directed towards you and more directed towards us. Moses' warning is especially poignant in an age when it's possible for anyone to download messages from a host of celebrity preachers who are personally detached from our real-life communities by miles and miles of wire and satellites and signals. Many people today assume that if someone is writing books or has a huge online or television following, he or she must be a prophet and a spokesperson for God. The thing is, however, that a true prophet may not have that fat book contract or TV show. Their people know them, warts and all, and their message is often difficult to hear, which means that their audiences tend to be much smaller. Most of the time, real prophets are rather reluctant because they know that the message God has laid on them can sting them as much as it will the rest of the community. Just look at the struggles of the prophets of Israel, and we see that it was no picnic. And if you recall, if you were here last week, you may recall last week's scripture in the call of young Samuel to be a prophet of God. And his first prophetic job was to denounce the family of his mentor, Eli. With that criteria in mind, it becomes a little easier to tell when someone is actually being prophetic versus being a pitch man or a pitch woman for a particular agenda. Here are a few telltale signs that we're hearing as pitchmen instead of as a prophet. The first is, the message is all about them. A pitchman is primarily in business for the benefit received from hawking a particular product or agenda. Thus, he or she is more likely to use their platform to manipulate others toward that end. When a person begins with the admonition, God told me to tell you, or God gave me a vision, it should put us on high alert. History is full of those who have claimed a special hotline with God and have led people to destruction while lining their own pockets and feeding their gluttonous impulses. Through Moses, God warns his people to watch out for those who speak in my name a word I have not commanded the prophet to speak, because that word is usually their own. A real prophet, on the other hand, is more likely to suffer for the word that he or she is bringing. If you recall the trials of Jeremiah and Isaiah in the Old Testament, of John the Baptist and the disciples of Jesus in the New Testament, as just a few examples, that their call to prophecy and their call to work for the Lord was not easy. If God calls us to be a prophet, God is not necessarily doing us a favor in terms of our comfort or our earthly safety. A second sign that we're dealing with pitchmen instead of prophets is that they're holding up other gods. God warns against people who are actually pitchmen for other gods. In Moses' day, that meant the idols of the Canaanites. But there are still plenty of gods to go around today. If our prophet is making promises about our financial prosperity, for example, that should be a major red flag. The biblical prophets were far more concerned about the poor than the rich, as was Jesus. Biblically speaking, if we are financially prosperous, our first priority should be to share that prosperity. Any prophet that puts his, her, and or our financial wealth ahead of generosity is simply pitching a product and not the gospel. As Jesus put it, we can't serve both God and wealth. We're going to have to choose between the two. Money is often part of an unholy trinity of other gods that includes sex and power. It's not that any of these are bad in and of themselves. It's that they make good servants, but terrible masters. When a person speaks a word that places wealth, sexual license, or a political agenda over and above the word of God, then we've got ourselves a spokesperson or a pitchman for another set of gods. We don't have to read very far into the Bible to realize what kind of destruction that causes. A third characteristic of a pitchman rather than a prophet is that their character does not match the message. If someone is preaching a gospel that they're not living out, then he or she is a religious peddler and not an authentic prophet. Paul warned of such peddlers of God's word and urged people to seek those who speak and act like persons sent from God and standing in his presence. Jesus warned his followers against false prophets and religious pitchmen who come as wolves in sheep's clothing, but whose real character is revealed by their fruits. The most authentic prophets are those who are vulnerable, whose weaknesses are known by the community, and who live in humility and with good character. Real prophets may not be the most eloquent speakers, but their lives speak volumes as to the truth of the message that they proclaim. And a fourth characteristic of pitchmen is their words come to nothing. Through Moses, God offers the people a surefire way to tell whether God has spoken through a person or the person is speaking on his or her own. Quote, if a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true. It is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it. End quote. A real prophet knows the difference between his or her own word and that of God. It's not so much about a prophet's predictions as much as whether the prophet has rightly discerned the will of God and whether the community begins to change as a result of that prophecy. Such an evaluation takes time, which is why the best prophets are often those who remain in a community over a period of time, or even years. They are there to see the word of God through to its completion, rather than simply dropping a message and then hitting the road. A real prophet's message will continue to bear fruit and shape the community of faith as he or she lives with the people and in a deepening relationship with God. May we use these criteria as we speak and as we listen to those who profess to speak for the Lord, so that we can discern true prophets from the pitchmen as we listen for the word of God in our personal lives, in our families, in our communities, and in our congregation. Let's pray together. Lord, we realize that you have called many to speak for you, and we realize also that others have, for whatever reason, claimed to have spoken for you, but are not really speaking your word. Lord, we pray that we may have a heart of discernment today, that as we listen to those who profess to be speaking for you, that we may tell and try to be able to search out whether they are truly offering a word from you. We pray, O God, that the people that you have called, the prophets that you have empowered and you have spoken to speak, that we may have open ears and open minds and open hearts to hear them. And Lord, help us to tune out those who are not speaking your word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.